This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
And I'm Yehi Suhib. Coming up on Africa News Tonight,
Kenya's Electoral Commission says a new presidential election is to be held October 17th, but opposition leader Raila Odinga has rejected it, demanding election officials be investigated or fired before fresh polls are held.
That's VOA's Jill Craig reporting from Nairobi. Details next.
Also, more than 8 million people remain in need of emergency assistance in drought-stricken parts of southern and southeastern Ethiopia. Aid and rights groups warn of a worsening humanitarian crisis in the Lake Chad region, and Nigeria and South Africa have both announced their recessions have ended.
We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight.
Our top story, Kenya's Electoral Commission says a new presidential election is to be held October 17th, but opposition leader Raila Odinga has rejected it. He's demanding election officials be investigated or fired before a new election is held. From Nairobi, VOA's Jill Craig has more.
After Kenya's Supreme Court annulled last month's presidential election results that favored incumbent President Uhuru Kenyatta over opposition candidate Raila Odinga by a margin of about 1.4 million votes, the Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission announced late Monday the new election will be held October 17th. But Odinga and his opposition coalition said Tuesday they prefer October 24th or 31st. Arguing there must be sufficient time to work out issues with the IEBC that necessitated the need for a new election in the first place.
We are saying that we are not ready to participate in elections on the 17th of October without legal and constitutional guarantees. Because if you not do a mistake twice and expect to get different results.
Odinga said a number of electoral commissioners should be sent home and or prosecuted instead of being permitted to conduct another round of elections.
As far as we are concerned, it is not just not the date, the day. It is the preparation for these elections, which is more important to us, that there must be proper preparations. We must deal with all the irregularities which were committed, beginning with the people who committed them and also rectifying those irregularities.
The IEBC spokesman told VOA a response would be forthcoming. Attempts to reach Kenyatta's spokesman for comment were unsuccessful. The Supreme Court stated in its ruling Friday that the Electoral Commission was responsible for irregularities and illegalities in the transmission of the results, but did not order specific action for the elections officials. Chief Justice David Maraga informed the commission that under the Constitution, it had 60 days from the ruling to organize fresh polls. The full judgment of the court must be released within 21 days of the ruling. Jill Craig, VOA News, Nairobi.
The heads of the World Food Program, Food and Agriculture Organization, and the International Fund for Agricultural Development have visited drought-stricken parts of Ethiopia. The Associated Press reports they arrived in southern and southeastern Ethiopia over the weekend to check on a mass feeding program. More than 8 million people need emergency assistance. Efforts are also underway to save livestock. Officials say they hope the feeding program will be enough aid until seasonal rains hopefully arrive by the middle of this month. However, the Danana region has been repeatedly hit by drought over the last 4 years.
Aid and rights groups are warning of a worsening humanitarian crisis in the Lake Chad region. Parts of northern Nigeria, Niger, Cameroon, and Chad are suffering from ongoing attacks by Boko Haram militants. Also, aid agencies say they lack funding and are still not able to access many areas. Jackie Okau is the Protection and Advocacy Advisor for the Norwegian Refugee Council. From Berlin, she spoke with VOA's Joe DiCapua about the scope of the Lake Chad crisis.
In the last couple of months, we've seen an increased number of attacks from Boko Haram with a number of them targeting the IDP settlements, including camps. In terms of the needs that still exist, we still have serious food crisis. Of course, the number of factors relating to this food crisis, but the one that is very obvious is the displacement. Because of the counterinsurgency and the continuous attacks of civilian population, people have had to flee for safety and have ended up in congested makeshift settlements within a number of the local government area towns, so small towns within their localities. And in these settlements, there are huge needs in terms of food because they are heavily reliant on the humanitarian assistance that is being given by the different agencies. And oftentimes, this assistance is not meeting all the needs. It's just, you know, a drop in the ocean.
I know the Norwegian Refugee Council is very concerned about many children being hard hit by this crisis. Would you explain?
Yes, we're looking at about 800,000 children who are hit with malnutrition, and this is as a result of the food crisis. Families are heavily reliant on humanitarian assistance, which is not sufficient. It's not enough. We're seeing a number of children hit with acute and severe malnutrition as a result of that.
Now, you're also concerned about a funding shortfall for the humanitarian operations. How big a shortfall is this?
Right now, the humanitarian response plan is only financed at about 45%. Following up from the Oslo summit that happened in February, we saw a number of pledges that was made by the international community. But we also know that a number of pledges haven't yet come through. And so our concern is now the discussions moving towards the stabilization as is going to happen tomorrow. We are afraid that these humanitarian needs might be subdued in preference for, you know, the stabilization agenda.
Now, of course, Boko Haram is still active, very active in the Lake Chad region. We constantly hear of suicide bomb attacks, etc. How difficult is it for you to get to the areas of people in need?
It's very difficult. The number of localities that we still do not have complete access to, and the number of people trapped in there, we do not know what the needs are. And for those that are within the local government areas that we're able to access, some by road, others by the UN facilitated helicopter movement, but that still limits the amount of time and resources that we're able to inject in there because, one, resources are not also readily available, but also, two, there are lots of bureaucratic impediments and challenges to access those in those current locations.
So with the difficulty that you have regarding access, is it possible that the humanitarian crisis is even bigger than you're reporting right now?
Yes, it's possible. There are areas that are still totally inaccessible. We know there are people in there, but we do not know their condition. It's oftentimes when they flee to relatively safer areas that you come across severely malnourished children. So, yes, you're right. It's much more than we can see right now and can report.
Is the Norwegian Refugee Council making any recommendations regarding the Lake Chad region?
We continue to appeal for, you know, resources and focus to the region in terms of meeting the basic needs of those who have been affected. And this is in relation to the food, to water and sanitation and shelter. And for the returns that we see happening, we also are putting out to the world to see how they can work with the government of Nigeria to ensure that the returns are safe and voluntary, as well as informed, to enable people go back to areas that are safe and not push them to areas that are still insecure, because then that puts them at a risk of further attack from Boko Haram.
Jackie Okau is the Protection and Advocacy Advisor for the Norwegian Refugee Council. From Berlin, she spoke with VOA's Joe DiCapua. In related news, Amnesty International says there's been a sharp rise in civilian deaths in the Lake Chad region since April. It says at least 381 civilians in Nigeria and Cameroon have been killed by Boko Haram attacks and suicide bombings.
Nigeria and South Africa have both announced good economic news. They say their recessions have finally ended. In Nigeria, officials report an economic growth rate of more than 1.5% in the second quarter of this year, ending the country's worst recession in more than 20 years. In South Africa, officials say the country's first recession in 8 years has ended. The economy grew by 2.5% in the second quarter. South Africa fell into a technical recession in March. However, a more than 30% growth rate in the agricultural sector is behind the recession's end.
You're listening to Africa News Tonight live on the following frequencies, 15580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
I'm Yeswu Heap, 16 past the hour. Here's a recap of our top stories. Kenya's opposition leader, Raila Odinga, is demanding election officials be investigated or fired before a new election is held. More than 8 million people are in need of emergency assistance in drought-stricken parts of southern and southeastern Ethiopia. And aid and rights groups are warning of a worsening humanitarian crisis in the Lake Chad region. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com.
The humanitarian organization Migrant Offshore Aid Station, or MOAS, is suspending its Mediterranean Sea rescue operations. MOAS cites security concerns, saying it wants nothing to do with Libya's interception of migrant boats leaving its coast. Reporter Josephine McKenna is covering developments. She spoke with me about the latest withdrawal of rescue operations and provided details on other migrant developments.
The humanitarian organization claims to have saved 40,000 migrants in the Mediterranean. It's now decided to suspend its operations because of concerns about security and what it calls increasing instability off the coast of Libya. This organization has been based in Malta. It was founded by philanthropists. It says it wants to have nothing to do with the approach by Libya, its interception of migrant boats, and is instead redeploying its flagship, the Phoenix, to Southeast Asia to help Rohingya refugees. This organization has really provided a lot of support and conducted many rescues. It says it's very unclear what's going on in Libya and is concerned that people are vulnerable, that their rights should be protected and safeguarded under international law, and they don't want to be part of any mechanism that does not guarantee migrants safe harbor or welcome when they make that dangerous journey across the Mediterranean.
And also other developments there. I understand the migrants have been removed from buildings. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, today the Italian authorities removed 80 migrants from a former school where they were being housed in Milan. Many of them were African. They've been checked by the authorities. Some of them were considered to be illegal immigrants. We've also seen the removal of migrants who've been camping beside the Roman Forum in the heart of Rome. There is a bit of a housing emergency on the streets of Rome because a couple of weeks ago, 800 African migrants were removed from a building where they had been living for the past 4 or 5 years. Now the authorities are concerned that many of these people are living on the streets of Rome. No one seems to be taking any major decisions to find alternative accommodation for them. So this is looking like a bit of a housing emergency for these African migrants. Many of them are Eritrean and Ethiopian. There's been an ongoing debate about how they're being treated, whether they're being treated fairly in Rome.
In another concerning development, there has been an attack on a Polish couple there by a notorious beach gang. Can you tell us about this?
This case has provoked an outcry across Italy because of the brutality of this attack. A gang of four, North African and African of origin, have been arrested for the alleged rape and beating of this couple in the coastal town of Rimini. And it's really inflamed the debate about welcoming migrants in this country. And because the couple were Polish, Poland is now seeking seeking the extradition of these four suspects. One is a 20-year-old Congolese asylum seeker. There are two Moroccan brothers involved who are only teenagers who were born in Italy, and a 16-year-old Nigerian who was also born in Italy. This has inflamed debate, once again divided Italians about whether Italy should be welcoming migrants to its soil.
With all of these issues going on there, the Italian government is looking at an integration program for migrants.
Well, this is something that really needs a lot of attention in Italy. There's obviously a revolution going on here where we've had a huge influx of migrants from different countries who have arrived in Italy since the beginning of the year. Thousands of people have made that journey across the Mediterranean. The numbers have slowed down recently, but this is an issue, how to accommodate and integrate migrants who've come here. Now the government is looking at a program that might include Italian lessons, guidance on how to respect the values that seem to exist in this country, or they consider to exist in this country, how to respect women, how to respect the values of the Italian country and the Italian people. These are big issues as people are trying to stay in Italy, seek asylum here, and find a way forward in a country that is still coming to grips with this massive migration crisis.
That was reporter Josephine McKenna speaking to us from Rome. In related news, the International Organization for Migration reports nearly 126,000 migrants and refugees have arrived in Europe by sea this year. More than 2,500 have died trying to make the journey.
Violence broke out in northwestern Cameroon after gendarmes shot dead a teenage boy yesterday. There's ongoing tension in the country's two English-speaking regions, even after President Paul Biya ordered a release last week of 55 detainees. The move was a bid to reopen dialogue and resolve the nine-month strike. Moki Edwin Kenzaka reports from the town of Kombo.
Hundreds of people shouted and ran to seek refuge Monday evening at the cathedral in Cameroon's northwestern town of Kumbu amid the unrest. Christopher Tata, one of the local residents leading people to the church, says some of the people had run several kilometers from a neighboring village called Kifem.
Everybody was home respecting the ghost towns until these gendarmes provoked the people wanting to steal goats. And then somebody sounded a whistle and people came out, and then it was shooting. The people of Kumbu have hoisted the flag of Southern Cameroons and are waiting for the population to come and join them.
VOA saw the white and blue flag of the separatist movement flying in Kumbu. Residents said the flags had also been raised in other communities and that the military was going round Tuesday to remove them. The spark for the unrest was the killing early Monday of a 17-year-old boy in the village of Kifem. In an official statement, Cameroon's Defense Minister Joseph Beti Asomo said the boy was shot accidentally after villagers attacked gendarmes with locally made guns, wounding one of the gendarmes. The defense minister said the gendarmes were in Kifem on an anti-drug operation and that they opened fire in self-defense. Residents say the gendarmes seized the teenager's corpse and paraded it through the streets. A school and government buildings were burned in protest. Local media report that a second person was killed early Tuesday as violence continued. VOA could not independently verify that report. Adolf Deben Chofo, the governor of the northwest region of Cameroon, visited Kumbu Monday night. He told VOA the highest-ranking government official in the town was wounded by the angry crowds but is responding to medical treatment. The defense ministry says the commander of the gendarmes in Kumbu has been dismissed over the unrest. Schools were to reopen in the English-speaking northwest and southwest regions after being sealed in November when the strike began. English-speaking lawyers and teachers were demanding reforms to address what they described as the overbearing influence of French in the bilingual country. Separatist groups soon joined the movement, ratcheting up tensions. Those groups are demanding full independence to resolve what they say is the marginalization of the country's Anglophone minority. Activists are demanding the release of another 20 people detained over the strike before talks can restart. President Paul Biya has said that he will engage in no dialogue that threatens national unity. Moki Edwin Kinzika for VOA News, Kumbu, Cameroon.
The United Nations calls suffering endured by millions of people in Yemen after more than 2 years of civil war an entirely man-made catastrophe. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA on a report on the crisis in Yemen by the UN Human Rights Office in Geneva.
The United Nations reports there have been more than 11,700 civilians killed or injured in Yemen since the Saudi Arabian coalition began airstrikes against Houthi rebels in support of the government in March 2015. It blames more than 8,000 of the casualties on the coalition and more than 3,700 on the Houthis. The report says conflict, cholera, and severe food shortages have made Yemen the world's largest humanitarian crisis. The UN Human Rights Agency's chief of Middle East and North Africa, Mohammed Ali Ensor, says Yemen's 18.8 million people need humanitarian aid, and more than 10 million are in acute need of health care.
The catastrophe is entirely man-made and a direct result of the behavior of the parties to the conflict, including indiscriminate attacks. We have seen attacks on markets, residential areas, hospitals, schools, funeral gatherings, and even fishermen and small civilian boats at sea.
The report says civilians may have been directly targeted in some cases. The report documents a wide range of continuing human rights violations and abuses. It expresses concern at the increasing number of arbitrary or illegal detentions and forced disappearances of human rights defenders, religious leaders, journalists, and political opponents. Ainsor says there are at least 1,700 cases of child recruitment, most by Houthi forces, and 20% by pro-government forces.
OHCHR monitors frequently observed children as young as 10 who were armed and uniformed and manning Houthi Saleh checkpoints.
UN Human Rights Chief Zayed Raad al-Hussein is repeating his call for an end to the fighting and for an independent international investigation to be established. He says it is crucial to hold to account perpetrators of violations and abuse. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington.
And I'm Kim Lewis. And for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports coming up at 18:30 UTC. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, John Dryden, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African music mix on The Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. From the north to the south and from the east to the west, the African music mix plays only the best.
Yes, sir. Two-Face. NATO C. Hey.
Tune in at 200, 300, 1200, and 1500 UTC GMT. Every day, right here on VOA Africa.
The Voice of America, VOA.